baseball's got this really crazy stuff going on. They're going to start checking pitchers. I think it's next week, right? Because the edict came out a couple weeks ago. Major League Baseball, minor leagues already have done this, are going to start checking players for foreign substances. I think that's a good conversation to have. All right, joining us right now on the Beacon Plumbing Hotline, Chelsea James is with us from the Washington Post, wrote a terrific story just a couple days ago. Trevor Bauer, kind of the focus of it, but spin rate and spider tack and all those things coming into play now with baseball and baseball pitchers is kind of the focus. And Chelsea joins us right now on the Beacon Plumbing Hotline. Hi, Chelsea, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're doing well. This is something, Kevin, my producer, we call him Mr. Baseball at our radio station, but we've been talking about this for a while. And it's funny because, you know, older guys like me and, you know, the many people in sports, fans and media, we don't want to hear about analytics. We don't care about spin rate. We don't care. Let's just play the game and away we go. But spin rate and foreign substances have become a big topic. And I go back to my days. I mean, I remember watching Gaylord Perry and the old spitball days. What can you tell us about spin rates, where they are right now with baseball? And we'll kind of get into what Trevor Bauer had to say and how baseball is in the midst of maybe cracking down very soon.
Yeah, it's, you know, spin rate really, as you guys know, has kind of burst onto the radar in recent years, and the theory being that the faster the ball spins, the more movement it will have, ideally. And so in a lot of cases, it seems like Trevor Bauer sort of led this conversation of saying, you know what, you can use that sticky stuff that people have been using for years, not just to get a better grip, not just to kind of get the occasional like spitball-y thing going, but to really maximize that spin rate if you know what you're doing. And so I think we've seen people start to do that. I think he's probably best at it, but you're starting to see guys have these spin rate jumps that don't really make a lot of sense. And baseball noticed it too and said, you know what, in a year when offense is down and all this, we're going to try to eliminate the use of substances for that particular advantage. But obviously that is something that people have been doing for a long time, using all that stuff. So it's kind of creating this old versus new, you know, where do you draw the line thing? And it's kind of the talk of the town.
Going back a couple of years before we jump ahead to what Major League Baseball is going to do now in terms of enforcement, was it, I think you mentioned this, Trevor Bauer, what, a couple of years ago, basically threw the Houston Astros under the bus, not for buzzers under jerseys, actually, but for actually, you know, calling out some of their pitching staff, correct?
Yeah, he did. You know, he said, look at the spin rates of those guys and think about what that's telling you. You know, guys that go there with low spin rates and come out with high ones. And, you know, obviously those pitching staffs included, you know, Gerrit Cole. They included, a whole lot of young arms that, you know, all of a sudden were doing a lot better than they had been. So, yeah, he really started this conversation and I think is, you know, a little bit of the arsonist calling the fire department because it, you know, he's not denying that he uses it either. And his spin rates have also jumped considerably since then.
Chelsea James, Washington Post, joining us here on the Beacon Plumbing Hotline. Ian Furness, Kevin, you want to jump in, I know.
Yeah, Chelsea, I've sort of likened it, and I'm curious, not for validation necessarily, but the way it feels a little bit to me, it feels like the rules have always been kind of a speed limit for what pitchers are allowed to use. The speed limit is 60, but you can go up to like 66 or 67, which is sort of, you know, you can use the rosin, you can kind of combine some sunscreen with some rosin, you can do that sort of thing. But it feels like everyone now is going like 80, and Major League Baseball is realizing like, okay, now we've gone so far past, we have a significant problem. Is that fair? And do you see them actually cutting down on everything now because everyone was abusing it?
I think that's absolutely right. And I think that like very much in the same way that you're going to go 67 if you know you're not going to get pulled over for it, or maybe that's just me, like, you know, you can't really blame guys for pushing as far as they can go when the league has made really clear that they're not going to enforce that as cheating. So I think that what the league is encountering now is that they didn't enforce it for a long time. You know, I think for many years, people weren't pushing the limit quite as far, but now they're seeing guys, you know, with kind of blatant dark spots on their gloves or blatantly sort of reaching for various parts of their uniform where they wouldn't normally be reaching. And, you know, I think it's just sort of like, okay, like now you're just kind of flaunting it. And now they have more data too. Now they can look and say, okay, this isn't just something that helps with grip. This isn't just something that makes the ball move weirdly now and then. This is something that people can actually optimize to be a lot better than they would be normally. And so I think they're trying to figure out what they do with it, but it is like a little bit tough to look at players and be like, what are you doing? Because who wouldn't sort of push things as far as they could go when there hasn't been enforcement?
And it's interesting that you mentioned, you know, how far you go, and it's not just about grip, because you hear a lot of players, hitters, so to speak, especially former guys, we hear them in our market talking about, hey, I want a guy to have a grip. I want him to know where that ball's going. But then there's that line, like Kevin mentioned, like there's a line between knowing where the ball's going and a spin rate. Maybe you could touch in on this. A spin rate, because I find it fascinating, you know, Bauer's last start, I think it was, when all of a sudden the enforcement starting to come into play, it dropped 200 rotations per minute. So that tells me it was up 200 to 300 before that. What does that do for a baseball? And what do you hear from players around the league? Because it seems like a massive advantage for pitchers, especially when you just said offense is down. Batting averages are the lowest they've ever been in the history of the game. What does that spin rate actually do besides give a good grip?
I think that's something that we're all trying to feel out a little bit, because those numbers mean something. You know, we can all sort of notice that they're down, but until it's explained sort of what that's doing to the ball, or until hitters kind of talk about that, it's sort of hard to say. I think the general consensus, you know, you don't have a lot of hitters coming out and saying these spin rates are ridiculous. You know, you do have a lot of them saying, I'd rather that guy have, you know, a grip on the ball so I don't get hit in the face. But I think that as this gets talked about more, we'll come to a better understanding of like what advantage Trevor Bauer is gaining when he uses this. I think just from talking to people sort of informally and a very unscientific understanding, that what it does is allows you to sort of create spin that you can't create with your fingers, right? So like maybe that's obvious, but if you're trying to throw a slider and you can snap it off a certain way, that's great. But if you add the sticky stuff in the right place, that's going to pull, you know, that seam down. That's going to create a little bit more spin than you could have just created yourself. It's going to allow you to push differently and create more spin. And I think the guys who know how to use it best are seeing sort of extreme movement differences. But it's really hard to know because we don't always know when they're using it. So it's not like you can lay one thing over another and see the difference. But I think that, you know, as we continue to talk about this more, it'll become sort of clearer exactly what kind of advantage it has created. And maybe it's not as big as people feel, but I think right now Major League Baseball seems to think, from what they've seen over the last 2 months, that it's creating a pretty massive advantage for people.
So Chelsea, it seems like Major League Baseball is kind of trying to figure out this offensive problem already, looking at, you know, whether they need to do something about the shift or, you know, changing the ball and all that sort of stuff. Is this focus, I guess, on the spider tack and foreign substances just their hope to fix it all with this one issue? Is that what you think?
I definitely think that's part of it. And I think that it is, first of all, it's a little bit ironic, I guess, that, you know, they're trying to deaden the ball this year. Offense dropped so low that now they're trying to scramble to how to figure it out. You know, that's sort of a problem partially of their own making, I think. But I think it's something that they think they can fix quickly, right? You can't implement these new rules mid-season that they're trying out in the minor leagues. You can't just sort of change everything, but this is something they can take on right away. What I don't know is if it's a coincidence that it is something that implicates players, you know, a few months before they have to collectively bargain and try to get a deal done again. You know, it is sort of, I think, suspicious to many players that, you know, the league is now taking on something that they can throw on the players and say, you guys are cheating. Here's why this is happening. And I don't think that's entirely what the league is doing. And I don't think they've said, you know, use the word cheating or anything. But it is interesting because now that enters the conversation of those collective bargaining agreements. Like, you guys created the lack of offense, you know, it's just sort of an interesting approach at a time when tensions are high. So I think it is something they feel like they can use to change things immediately, hopefully, on their part. But I also think it's interesting that it's a player-driven thing at a time when, you know, they're about to face off with the union.
Well, that's not, Chelsea, that's a fascinating angle to it. That opens up a whole different can of worms, because I'm thinking as you're saying that, wait a second, you have a roster that's about 25 guys, or 26 now, I guess, right? But you have that roster, and every roster is split almost in half with 12 or 13 pitchers, and then the other half are position guys. Well, I mean, pitchers have a different set of agendas than the hitters do. So, I mean, that's right. that completely splits it as well, which I find that fascinating. That's just a side note. Let me ask you something, because the as you mentioned, they're kind of almost changing the rules, or at least enforcement midseason. You wrote in your article, and I thought it was interesting, we've already seen enforcement and suspensions in the minor leagues. Is that right?
Yeah, from what I've heard, there's been 4 players suspended. So 4 players in the minor leagues were found to have some foreign substance that they were using, and they were suspended for 10 games. And from what I'm told, that like the exact enforcement mechanism in Major League Baseball, it could be a 10-game suspension. It could be different. They don't seem to really know yet, but it is an interesting precedent for sure. And it shows you that like they are willing to do this, you know, at some level.
We wrap it up with this. The guidelines, the collective bargaining, everything else is coming into play. When you talk to Major League Baseball officials, do they feel like they can execute enforcement as we move ahead? Because they've come out and said publicly they're going to do that. Do you feel like they have tried to do in the minor leagues? Can they effectively do this and keep everybody happy?
I don't think everyone's going to be happy, but I do think they can do it. You know, I think it's interesting that Cole and Bauer have both said, we don't care what you do, just tell us so that we can deal with it, you know, and be consistent, which I think is doable. There are a lot of problems though, right? Like, how do you enforce it without absolutely destroying pace of play? You know, if you're checking every pitcher, like that is going to add time, and that's something you didn't want to do. Do you trust the umpires to do it? It's technically been their job for years and they haven't really done it, but you just expect that switch to flip. I think it's a really, really interesting thing, but I mean, the fact of the matter is that right now it's sort of like, if a manager says to an umpire, we think that guy's using stuff, then it's pretty much virtually assured that the opposing manager at some point will accuse their pitcher. So that system's not working either, because no one wants to do it. So I think they can do it, but I don't think it's going to be smooth, and I certainly don't think everyone will be happy, at least at first.
And to wrap it up, you mentioned something there that I didn't get to earlier, and I think it's the most important part of this. And when we hear the words, you know, Trevor and Bauer, a lot of times people kind of, wait a second, oh, what's he saying? But all he's asking for, I believe, is what you mentioned, is some sort of uniformity. In other words, hey, like either I'm doing it and everyone's doing it or nobody's doing it, right? That's kind of the crux of this whole thing, at least from the pitching standpoint.
Yeah, and I actually believe him. I take him at his word, whatever you think of him as the messenger. I mean, he's saying, let's have rules and see who's the best under those rules, which is like pretty reasonable. So,
yep.
And he's not denying he uses it either. It's not a sort of individual thing. So yeah, it's interesting, but I think that the goal is reasonable. Whether it's achievable, I guess we'll see.
Chelsea, great stuff. We really appreciate it. We know you're busy. We appreciate you coming on. We love our friends of the Washington Post. Some guy named Jerry Brewer is a big part of our radio station. And we appreciate you guys, the Washington Post, sharing him with us every now and then. He's a good man, and it's great to have you on the show and get to know you as well. Thank you so much.